Welcome to this short talk that I recorded live on Insight Timer. It's all about how to do Buddhist practice for those who have recently died to help support them in their afterlife journey. You can find a short guided practice starting at about minute 21, or you can just find the next episode in this podcast feed. If you're interested in learning more about the basic teachings of Buddhism, you can check out my new book, The Buddhist Path to Joy. You'll find a link in the show notes. And if you're interested in the process of how we die, how we go through the intermediate state between death and rebirth, and how we're reborn, I have a whole teaching series on that that's available for free as an email course, and you can find a link to register for that too in the show notes. So enjoy, and I hope this is helpful to you. So first of all, I just want to say welcome. I want to say thank you to everyone who's tuning in, because this topic of, like, how do we care for people that we've lost? How do we care for people who have passed away, whether we knew them or not? It's a really important question. Hi, Michi. And I think, you know, at least speaking as somebody raised in, like, modern, Western, sort of physicalist-oriented culture, and also, like, a Christian culture, I feel like the answers that I got growing up weren't very great, you know? From the Christian side, I had, like, well, this person is in a better place now. They're with God. Nobody wants to say they're in hell, I guess, which is the other option. But, like, if they're with God, there's kind of nothing for us to do. You know, we just, like, need to make our peace with it and try not to feel sad. So there's that. And then, you know, from a physicalist perspective, that person is just gone now. You know, like, maybe the minerals in their body are going to go on and get recycled into earthworms or something and eventually work their way back up the food chain. But again, there's, like, kind of nothing to do for that either. And in contrast to that, in pretty much every, like, traditional society around the world and throughout time, people have ideas about what happens after we die. How can we help people who have passed away? I mean, the shaman, part of the shaman's function in a traditional culture is to guide the spirits of the dead in their journey into whatever comes next. So again, we don't really have that technology in our culture. So I want to offer you a few tips and tricks, I guess you could say. I prefer to think of them as best practices. And I mentioned this before I started recording, but what I'm going to share is mostly based on Tibetan Buddhist teachings. You're probably familiar with the so-called Tibetan Book of the Dead. There's a whole genre of literature in Tibet that's all about, you know, what happens after we die, what is the death process like, and how can we support ourselves and support others as we go through this process of death, the intermediate state, and rebirth. And the other thing that I want to bring in here is modern research into near-death experiences, reincarnation cases, anything that's going to give us a window into what actually happens when we die and after we die. I'm interested in that stuff too, because I think between the Tibetan materials and the research, we actually can get a lot of information on what happens as we die and after we die. So just a little brief background here. From the Tibetan perspective, when we die, what actually happens is the physical body, which is the support for the ordinary mind, but not our Buddha nature, not our ultimate mind, the body, the physical body, dies. It shuts down. It's our energy. Tibetans call it lung. In Sanskrit, it's prana. Chinese talk about qi. So these are all ways of talking about the energy that circulates through our bodies and keeps the mind alive. Well, keeps the body alive, but, like, the mind, the ordinary mind, depends on the body and these winds, these energies, to function. So, and again, I'm summarizing a whole lot of stuff. I have episodes here on Insight Timer or on the podcast if you're listening later about the four bardo states, the stages of the death and rebirth process. So if you're interested in this, you can do a deeper dive on it. Or I can do, you know, maybe another live series at some point on this. But basically, the body dies And at the very end of the death process, there's a moment where because our body and because our ordinary mind are now like gone, they're shut down, all that's left of us is our sacred luminous nature that in Mahayana Buddhism is called Buddha nature. So there's this moment when we pass through what's called the bardo of clear light. So this moment when like who we truly are is fully exposed. And the thing is, we can access that during our lifetime through meditation. So I'm going to do a little practice at the end of this session where we try and at least get in touch with that a little bit in order to support someone who has passed away. So like what we contact during the death process is not, it's not absent during our lifetime. It's just covered up with other stuff. So we and people who have died who are in what's called sometimes the bardo state, more technically speaking, it's the bardo of becoming because everything is a bardo state. They've died, but they haven't taken rebirth yet. That person has gone through that moment, even if it's just a little tiny brief moment of experiencing themselves as they truly are, as their luminous Buddha nature. And now they've kind of woken back up out of that again. And it's said that they're in a kind of dreamlike state. So if you can imagine just being a mind, sort of like we are in our dreams, you know, if there's a noise in the environment, it's probably going to work itself into our dream somehow. Or if you're trying to stay asleep, your mind wants you to stay asleep and there's something going on, you know, everything around you can kind of get folded into those dreams. So you're very sensitive to your environment. And they say that in the bardo state, that's even more the case. So the person can kind of tune into what their loved ones are feeling or thinking, and everything we are experiencing can potentially have a big impact on them. And that leads me to the first thing that I want to just mention in terms of how to support somebody who's passed away, which is if you're in a really bad headspace, that might not be the time to try and support this other person. I think sometimes, you know, especially if the person we lost was like a parent or a mentor or something like that, we might be used to turning to them for support. But the reason that it's not really encouraged to turn toward them at a time like that necessarily, or to want that support from them, is that they're in a part of their transition from one life to the next where, you know, in the beginning, it's said that a transition from one lifetime to the next can take up to 7 weeks. There's also cases where it's taken much longer. It can take a much shorter time. So it's very variable. But in those first couple of days or, you know, even weeks, that person may be very attuned to their old life. But over the course of the time that they spend in this intermediate state, the description is, and this seems to be borne out by reincarnation cases that researchers have collected, they begin to let go of the old. They have an opportunity to kind of open to their own true nature. And then by the end of this in-between state, as they come toward their next lifetime, they're getting drawn more into what's new. So we don't want to necessarily try and connect with somebody if we're in a state of really missing them and like wanting to draw them back in, you know? So if you want to support somebody, I think the first thing is know when you're capable of support. So not a moment where you really want and need them back, but a moment where you're willing to kind of send your energy out and meet them wherever they are and just support them. So that's the first thing. It maybe sounds a little bit weird to talk about when not to do practice for someone who's died. But I think just given what we know about what happens as you die, what happens after you die, I think it actually makes sense to try to be in as stable a state as possible personally before trying to help someone else. Another reason for that is that, you know, what you're doing when you do practice for someone who's passed away, unless you're a great, great master or great shaman or something like that, like that's different. But like for those of us who are just ordinary practitioners, what we're doing is trying to cultivate some positivity within our own hearts and minds and then share that. So you want to have, you know, an opportunity when you're most likely to feel positive states of mind. So that leads me to my next point, which is, if possible, if you have, you know, a meditation space or a space for practice or just like a special space, maybe in your garden or outside somewhere that you like to go and sit and reflect, try and have a special spot, or at the very least, try and set aside a special time to do this practice for this person. Some things that can help your space kind of feel like a good practice space, a space that's able to support you so that you can support someone who's died, you know, those things might be setting up a couple of candles or, you know, lighting some incense. I don't know if you can see in my background here, probably not that well, but I have some little like water offering bowls, which is very traditional in Tibetan Buddhism. So if there's something that makes the space feel sacred to you, whether or not it's, you know, candles and incense and the whole nine yards that we kind of tend to see around, it could be something that's specific to you, even something that was specific to the person who's passed away, whatever it takes to make that space really feel comfortable and supportive and kind of sacred. It's nice to take a little time and set that space up and just, you know, be able to rest in it. The other thing, obviously, is setting aside sacred time. And this is hopefully something that you do every time you meditate or practice. But the fundamental part of this is, if you decide, okay, I'm going to take 15 minutes or half an hour or 5 minutes and try and support this person who's passed away, or you read a news story and you just want to take a couple of minutes to do a little practice for this person, it doesn't have to be long. But see if you can avoid the phone, distractions, you know, anything that's incoming. See if you can just give yourself a little bubble around that time. This is 15 minutes when I don't have to do anything other than cultivate a positive state of mind and share that with this person or people. As of this moment, there was yet another shooting in a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and 4 people were killed, plus the gunman. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to do this kind of practice. So anyway, we take the time, and again, you know, I have my singing bowl here. I like to maybe sound it and let that bring me into the sacred time of meditation or practice in some way. I also like to sound it again when I finish my meditation so that it's like this period is over. So just during this time, this is all you're going to do. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get up and immediately hop back on social media or whatever you were doing. It's just during that time, you're really giving your attention and your focus to this person who's passed away, or people. The other thing I want to say, I'm going to guide a little bit of a practice for people who have passed away before too long. But the other thing I want to say is that you may have heard of, you know, special practices for the dead. There's definitely, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism, several different very famous practices that can be done that are supposed to be very helpful for people. But you don't have to do any of those things. You can sit down and do a simple mindfulness meditation. And when you get your mind kind of settled and you're just feeling peaceful and calm, maybe there's some love there, you just share that peace and that calm and that groundedness. So any positive quality that you cultivate, whether it's through meditation or just by accident during the day, you can try and share that with people. And, you know, I think sometimes we feel like, oh, well, I don't know what to do, or like, am I actually qualified to do anything? Am I going to do harm if I try to do a practice for someone who's died? And, you know, when it comes to supporting someone in that very delicate, tender bardo state between death and rebirth, I think the most important thing is the quality of your own mind and your intention to be helpful. So, you know, if you don't know these advanced practices, you don't have to try them. If you are really comfortable with doing a breath meditation and you've recently lost someone and you just want to share that like relaxation and groundedness, share the relaxation and groundedness. From Tibetan accounts, it sounds like it's a time when our minds are easily distracted, we're easily swayed from one thing to another, so groundedness would be great, would be helpful. Even just a sense of caring, may you be well, may you be happy. You know, this is a very basic loving kindness meditation, so you can find tons of loving kindness meditations here on Insight Timer, or there's some on my podcast, I think, if you're listening later. So any of those can be done holding that person in mind too. So I just want to say it's not like you have to do something special or unfamiliar or like exotic or something. You can do ordinary practices that help you, and then you offer that positivity to whoever you're doing this practice to benefit. Okay, so having said all that, now I want to move to a little bit of practice together. And Amitabha Buddha, he's the Buddha of infinite light. He's really beloved in Tibetan Buddhism and also in a lot of forms of East Asian Buddhism. He's one figure who's often associated with practices for people who have recently died. Hello, Josky. Welcome, welcome. And part of the reason for that is that the story of Amitabha Buddha is that, like, during the countless years and lifetimes that he was training to become a Buddha, to realize reality, he made the aspiration that whoever kind of calls on him would be reborn into his Pure Land. So part of the idea of Buddhas is that every Buddha has their own Pure Land. And you can think of a Pure Land as like almost a virtual reality where everything is beautiful and wonderful, and it's said to be an easy place to attain awakening. So if you want to take that literally, that's great. I'll put Amitabha in the chat so you can look him up if you want. You can Google him later. He's great. But the other thing is, you don't actually have to use Amitabha's mantra, which, you know, we'll do a little bit. I'll give you the option of doing that if you want. What you're really trying to conjure up is that sense of boundless light. That sense that even though you've died, there's nothing to worry about. You can come back into your own true nature. To me, you know, if I think about the idea of a Pure Land, and I mean, I've talked with one of my friends who practices Nichiren, which is a Pure Land version of Buddhism. And, you know, what she said is that the Pure Land isn't just like out there somewhere in a place where we can go after we die. The Pure Land is when we actually recognize the true nature of reality here and now. And the more we can be in tune with that, the more our lives can feel infused by the sacred. If you think about it, you know, like our physical bodies are made up of molecules, right? And the molecules are made up of atoms, and the atoms are made up of subatomic particles. And those subatomic particles are just light flashing into and out of existence. And from that light, we kind of mentally and socially and culturally build up these entire complex worlds. But at the end of the day, if each of us is actually a Buddha walking around in a body made of flashing bits of light, the world is very different from this kind of grim, sometimes disturbing place that we live in. So anyway, there's a Pure Land within that we can connect with. And there's a sacred nature within, or a Buddha nature, a luminosity within that we can connect with. And that can help someone who no longer has a body to connect with that, but in their own way, that's potentially much more powerful than the meditation that we're able to do, you know, with a body and sort of stuck in a more physical type of existence. So I'm just going to guide you through a really short practice. I'm hoping it'll maybe give you some ideas about ways to do this kind of practice yourself, or just, you know, you try it and then you realize, oh, I can apply this with this loving kindness meditation that I already use on Insight Timer, or I can apply this, you know, when I sit down and drink a cup of coffee in the morning and I just feel peaceful and I feel awake. Maybe it's not a formal practice session, but I just send some love to, you know, people who have died. So anyway, let's settle in. Get ready to do a little meditation here. You can just start with feeling into the body. You can do this meditation sitting up or lying down. I'll just guide it sitting because that's what I'm doing, and probably most of y'all are doing that. But feel free to adapt it. So you can just begin with feeling the body resting in the chair or on the cushion. And this meditation really is about support. So see what happens if you just start the practice with feeling that support from whatever you're sitting on, which is ultimately resting on the floor, which is resting on the foundation of a building, which is resting on the earth itself. So just accept the support of the earth coming up through your seat. Allow the body to melt into that seat. And I'll sound the singing bowl so that we can kind of all just settle into a meditative state together. So as we allow the body to rest and be supported, just see what it feels like not to passively accept that support, but to actively feel into it. To recognize that we are supported, that reality itself is luminous, is magical, is wise. And if we usually feel that we have to hold ourselves together, we have to get things done, this is the opportunity to relax that, to let the universe flow through us, to accept this support in order to be able to support others as well. We'll just take a few out-breaths, and with each out-breath, you can release maybe stress or tension. Release the idea that you have to do something special to support those who have died. You can even maybe release the idea that dying is sort of the worst thing that can happen to us. Just another stage in the process of life and death and rebirth. Let's just take one more big, long out breath and release, relax, and settle in. Now bring your attention to your heart center. If you'd like, you can even put your hands in a prayer posture at heart center. Because we're going to make an aspiration. We're going to request help and support from the universe or Amitabha Buddha, whoever feels right to you. So from our heart center, we call out with the power of compassion. So that the sacred forces of the universe can support us in getting grounded, connecting with our magical nature, our sacred nature, in order to help those who have passed away. And whether you feel it or not, whether you know it or not, just asking for this help, it already brings powerful forces into this meditation session with us that are here purely out of kindness and wisdom. So if you'd like to use the image of Amitabha or invoke Amitabha or any Buddha, really, Amitabha is in a way not separate from any other Buddha, then I'll guide you through that. If you prefer to invoke Jesus or some other spiritual figure, Blessed Virgin Mary, whoever it may be that's meaningful to you, feel free to invoke that figure instead. I'll guide it a little bit with Amitabha, but I hope you can personalize it for yourself. So you can imagine, if it's helpful, that Amitabha, who you can imagine just as a radiant, gentle, somewhere between pink and red, this lovely, gentle color connected with infinite light. He's the ultimate safe space, and we can imagine just his energy as an orb of light above the crown of the head. You can imagine it kind of sitting on your shoulder if you'd like. Sometimes I like to imagine that Amitabha or some Buddha is standing behind me, kind of with his hands on the backs of my shoulders, just supporting. So Chris asks, what does Amitabha mean? It's just the name of the Buddha of infinite light. So you're allowing this sacred energy to kind of flow through you, to fill you up. I like to imagine my heart center as like a very powerful conduit for these non-ordinary blessings to flow through. So if you'd like, you can keep your hands in the prayer position. You can put a hand over your heart, whatever's comfortable to you. But you can just imagine getting in touch with whatever sense of feeling settled and feeling supported may be real for you right now. Just feeling that. Feeling your own connection with limitless light. This boundless light. No beginning, no end. Death certainly doesn't impact limitless light. It's flowing out through your heart center, filling your entire body with this warm, kind, confident radiance. Flowing through all the cells of the body. And now just bring to mind whoever you want to do this practice for. You might imagine their face. Maybe you know their name. Maybe you don't know either of those. You read about something on the news that's happened, or you want to bring to mind everyone and Ukraine, or everyone in any troubled hotspot in the world. You just invite them, so to speak, into the room with you. Anyone who's recently died, especially a traumatic death. Maybe you have just one or two people you know personally and you really want to support them. Doesn't matter. Whoever you're doing this practice for, you just bring them to mind as clearly as possible. And now let that positivity, that light, that warmth flow through your heart center from the sacred powers of the universe to these people. You're only allowing light from awakened beings, so to speak, from Buddhas, sacred beings. Nothing harmful is allowed to flow through your heart center right now. Only that which will be beneficial to yourself and others. You can imagine a beam of light going to each person that you're practicing for. Or you can just imagine the rays going out in all directions. Right now, you're connected to an infinite supply of this light and love and wisdom and this sense of coming home. You can give as much as you want away. Let it flow out, because there's an infinite amount. You're just making an offering to the people you're practicing for. They don't have to accept it. They don't even have to notice you. But maybe they do. Maybe you can feel that in some way this is supportive to them. As we sit and do this practice, if you'd like to use a mantra, you can use the mantra of Amitabha, which I will put in chat. It's Om Amidewa Hri. And I know people will ask, but I don't actually know if there is a translation for that mantra. It's the name of Amitabha, plus the sacred syllables Om and Hri. And when you say this, Om Amidewa Hri, you're not like saying a sentence. The syllables of the mantra are the energy you're invoking. When you say these syllables, it's like you're tapping into your internal Amitabha. That Amitabha energy that just exists throughout the universe. You're waking it up. You're helping it to come to conscious awareness for you, and then you're able to share it. So if you'd like to internally say that mantra, you can just repeat gently to yourself, Om Amidewa Hri, Om Amidewa Hri, Om Amidewa Hri. If you'd like, you can imagine red light going out in all directions as you say it. If there's another mantra that you know and are familiar with, you can use that. You can just sit and let that blessing energy flow through you. So I'll just give us a couple of minutes of silence here. You can use whatever practice feels good, just allowing that blessing energy to flow through you. And before we close this short practice, I'll guide us in some loving kindness expressions that we can use to just share this positive energy with whoever we're doing this practice for. So I'll say these words. Feel free to repeat them in your own way or to change them however you'd like. So I'll give us a little space between these expressions. May you be well. May you be well. May you be free from suffering. May you be free from suffering. May you find groundedness and connection. May you find groundedness and connection. May you experience true refuge in your own sacred nature. May you experience true refuge in your own sacred nature. If there's any other wish that you'd like to make for those you're practicing for, you can just make that wish or that aspiration now. Now we can begin to come up out of this meditation. So we can just feel that this luminous orb, if that's you, how you chose to imagine Amitabha or the presence of the sacred, can just feel that it rises above the crown of the head, melts down into the heart center, just completely fills our heart with this radiance. And then dissolves into our heart center. And we can imagine, we can hope, we can feel that whoever you're practicing for, that they have some peace and some calm. Maybe they feel confident and inspired and connected to their own light. We can allow our imagination of them to kind of dissolve, to let go. Bring our attention back into our own body. Just feeling all the blessings that have flowed through us. If you'd like, you can make the aspiration or the wish. May I keep this connection to the sacred as I go about my day? And finally, I'll sound the singing bowl again, and you can begin to maybe wiggle your fingers and toes and just come up slowly out of the practice.